Welcome back, everyone, to Movie Geek and Proud, the show where there are no guilty pleasures in film. Fuck the haters and be proud of your taste. I'm your host, Rob, with another Rob's Rewind. This is where I rewatch a film in my collection and see if it holds up. To stay on the shelf, it has to score a 4 or above out of 5, or get tossed and traded for a store credit, figuratively anyway. Let's start the show. The movie that I am reviewing from my collection today is Willard from 2003. What I can tell you about this movie as far as why it's in my collection, most likely this movie was dirt cheap along with my discount from working at the video store. That is how I got a lot of movies from my collection, and seeing as this is a horror movie of a topic that I have never really seen before, why not grab it? I remember Crispin Glover from the Charlie Angel movie and knowing of him of Back to the Future, even though I hadn't seen it at the time. So I was familiar with the actor. So I bought it and just had it in my collection this whole time. Now, let's see if it holds up.
Nothing goes right.
Willard?
Night, Mom.
Come in here.
Willard, what an awful name. If you had a stronger name, that Frank Martin wouldn't push you around.
What part of your fire don't you understand?
Willard, let's go drink. I'm not hitting on you, Willard.
Willard Stiles didn't quite fit in.
It's been a bad day.
Look, everybody, food.
But he's suddenly become very popular.
You're the best friends that I ever had.
Now,
Turd up.
A guy who could never get a break.
Yeah.
Is about to get even.
Out.
Willard!
We've come to see you. They'll do anything I tell them.
Turn up.
Do you think it's okay if I just put her inside?
Sure.
Willard? What was all that noise?
It's just the wind.
Crispin Glover.
Willard!
Willard.
So I'll start with my engagement. I didn't really see myself being into it, especially because I know what happens in the film. But I gotta say that this movie grabbed my attention so much with this rewatch. I can't really explain it, but I just found myself enthralled into this movie. I really was sort of not connected to Crispin Glover's character, but I was just very into sort of his well-being and how he became the person he became and why was he so, you know, disturbed, and just watching his atmosphere and his world just sort of blow up with one thing after another. And then to see his relationships with these rats, I just was so into it. So I was completely focused in the movie. I wasn't distracted. Even though it is a horror, it's not necessarily scary. There aren't many jump scares or dread of terror, but I will say that there are very disturbing moments and very creepy atmosphere and environment that goes on with the rats. You don't necessarily see yourself just being around as many as there were and just how comfortable he was around them, but just also his relationship with his mother and his boss at work and his awkwardness with coworkers and people in general. I found the opening sequence to be really great, just the way of the animated credits, as well as the music. The music was great throughout this whole movie. I got a very Tim Burton-esque feel to it, which I am a big fan of, so really good way to draw me in right away. But it also gives off that small vibe of, yes, it's horror, it's kind of creepy, but it's very kooky. Not necessarily a comedy, but just something to where it's so crazy, it works. There's a little bit of humility with it. And I really like that about the movie. As far as the acting goes, I think Crispin Glover's performance was phenomenal. I think he did a wonderful job. His performance could be seen as a little bit hokey, maybe even over the top, but I found him to be great. I think he definitely portrayed someone who is very locked in, very socially awkward, and not necessarily knows how to deal with his own human emotions or how to act around other people, especially dealing with his inner thoughts and how people perceive him and treat him.
It's my house!
Yes, of course. You grew up there at your home, but it's the bank's house.
It's my house!
There's no need for a single man to be living in such a large house, Willard. Sell it!
Why do I have to pay for what things my parents did?
The money can help you start over.
Start over? I'm almost done!
Willard, look, you have no choice.
If I have no choice, why did you even come here? Why did you even bother telling me? Do you get off on telling people that they have no control over their lives? That I have no money, no home, and it's not even my fault?
Willard, this is not the time nor place.
His relationship with his mother just escalated that whole weird and awkwardness, and I think that his performance is a good example of someone who is slowly spiraling out to a very bad place. And so while you may never see this sort of character portrayed on screen as something of realism, I still think that his performance is something to pay attention to, and it's not as cheesy as you think. Long live R. Lee Ermey. I think he is wonderful. He's known for his big yelling army-like voice, specifically from Full Metal Jacket. So this part was tailor-made for him, and I'm glad he took on this role. I think him as this schemy, slimy, very verbally abusive boss, he hit it right on the nose, and just every word out of his mouth, whether it was something funny, rude, or just downright crazy that he would say that to another human being, let alone one of his employees, I just thought he did such a great job.
Do you know why I can afford to plunk down $90,000 for that little edge over the competition, Willard?
Because I'm a successful man. Because I have never been late for work a day in my life. Because when I come to work, I don't show up in one of my dead father's cheap suits.
Because I have never given my boss such grief. Maybe it wouldn't hurt you to find out what pleases me.
So with the writing, I'm not giving this a full point. I'm giving it a half a point. I love the concept. I love the idea of the movie. The way that it was executed, it seemed a little bit like an extended short story. And I say that because there was really no explanation as to why all the rats were listening to him in the first place to make it very believable. It just so happened to just fall in his lap that these rats were kind of listening to every word. The movie kind of got slow in the middle as well. So I feel that in the middle, they were just kind of filling in the blanks to kind of give us more of why he is going deeper into this very negative psychosis. Once Ben, the rat, and Willard started to kind of like do this cat and mouse thing, I want to be included and all that, it didn't really pick up from there. It just kind of was very plateau and stale, just watching them kind of go back and forth as to who the alpha was with all of the rats. I gotta say though that I do love the execution of the camera shots. There were a lot of close-ups to the character's face in the movie, and whether it was his mother who was like foaming or drooling at the mouth and her amazing makeup to make her look very old and decrepit and sick, or just seeing the anxiety head on to see Willard go through some of the anguish that he was going through, or even the boss just yelling in your face. I think those close-ups definitely enhance those emotions that were trying to be given. I also noticed that even though Willard was not happy with what was going on at his work and how his boss was talking to him, you saw that that same bully-like and demeaning behavior was going on towards Ben the Rat. Clearly, he didn't want to be treated like that, but for some reason fell into the same sort of attitude and behavior as his boss. And usually that is what happens when you are sort of conditioned to one type of way of treating people. You tend to just kind of pay it forward to the next person just to show dominance and can take more control and power into your life. I do enjoy the fact that Bruce Davidson, who played Willard in the original, makes a cameo appearance in the form of a painting portraying Willard's father. And that's something that I didn't know before, but it gives a little bit of an Easter egg to anyone who was a fan of the original. I found that Socrates, the white rat, the one that he favored, and Ben, the big rat, were metaphors for his psyche. Socrates kind of kept him sort of sane. He, even though was doing a lot of bad things, he did it sort of for the sake of, I guess, righting a wrong or maybe doing a justice, but he still had that very humble, sort of nice demeanor. And then once Socrates left the picture, Ben comes in and challenges him and tests him to see exactly how much he can retain from going full on evil. And it wasn't until Socrates is gone is when Willard takes it up a notch and uses the rat for murder and pain instead of just doing little pranks here and there. As far as the recommendation, this was a difficult one for me. I wasn't sure exactly how I would recommend this to someone. I feel that this movie is very weird, and this movie most likely would only work with weirdos like myself, and I say that with the utmost compliment. It's not a movie that I would bring up and say, oh my God, you have to watch this film. But for anyone who saw the original movie, I would say yes, definitely give it a shot. This is a remake of the first one, and I gotta say that this remake was done very well, given that remakes are usually looked at as very poor executed versions of the original. So I would say that this remake is definitely worth watching as far as compare and contrast of the original. And I think there are some horror fans that can appreciate this movie as well. But as far as recommending it offhand, I can't say that I can do that. So I'm not giving any score for recommendation, unfortunately. Even though that I have not seen the original, the one from 1971, I will say that this movie definitely motivates me to watch the original. I'm very curious how the first one was done to have inspired this remake. I'd say that a movie like that is definitely something to pay attention to. What I will say is that if you do feel that this movie is just kooky enough for your taste, but this movie doesn't really do it for you, I would suggest watching movies like Ma with Octavia Spencer. And the reason why I chose that is because it's dealing with an adult person who is dealing with a lot of emotional baggage due to bullying and not being treated as such as a child given her upbringing. I also would recommend Ratatouille, Pixar's Ratatouille, for obvious reasons. It's a rat and a human interaction throughout the whole film, so that might be something to watch. And I also would recommend Psycho. And this is based on the isolation that the lead character gives with him and his mother, and that dynamic on how it's very unhealthy with the relationship that they have for each other. So it's very similar to what was going on here in Willard. So I would say that those movies are good substitutions in case Willard doesn't do it for you. I did rewatch this film. The whole point is to see if it holds up. I will say that without too much memory of when I watched it the first time, I gotta say that I really did enjoy my sit down with the movie today. But as I was watching it, I wasn't necessarily given a reason to buy it or keep it or have it in my collection. There's nothing really sort of tying me in as far as like it being a cult classic or maybe a annual watch for a specific reason. It was just a movie that I just happened to stumble upon to at the video store again, bought it, watched it, saw what I needed to see. I can't say there's anything new that you can possibly grab from a rewatch. However, if there is people who haven't seen it and you feel that this movie is their taste, that would definitely be a movie to a reason to rewatch it again. But other than that, I wouldn't have bought this movie had I, you know, really thought about it back in the day. I would say like, hey, every 5 years, break out the DVD, watch it. I'm sure it'll feel like you've watched it for the first time because I doubt you'll really grab and hold on to anything that you've seen. So it may feel like a new movie all over again. So with that being said, tallying up all the scores, this movie gets a 2.5 out of 5. And that'll do it for my review of Willard 2003. Before I conclude this episode, I want to bring you another quarantine quickie.
Wear a mask.
Today's film is called Willy's Wonderland, and this is Nicolas Cage along with Emily Tosta and Beth Grant. It just released this year, 2021, and it is about a quiet drifter. He's tricked into a janitorial job to pay for repairs to his car, and while cleaning this condemned building, the mundane task suddenly becomes an all-night fight for survival against wave after wave of demonic animatronics. All right, so real quickly, I was fascinated by this plot, and the trailer definitely gave enough for me to be interested, and I just had to see this movie. Well, I gotta say that this movie definitely doesn't disappoint. I really, really enjoyed watching Willy's Wonderland. From its catchy theme tune to the whole Wonderland, it's basically Chuck E. Cheese if it was turned into a meth lab as far as the look. But the characters, the animatronics are actually creepy looking. I love the design. I also didn't mind the story. I thought the story was thought out as far as a plot like this could go. I mean, how do you make animatronic robots come to life and start killing people? I think that they thought of a really good reason for why they are coming alive and killing people. This also is a little bit of a different role for Nicolas Cage. Not that he would star in this movie, but when they describe him as a quiet drifter, I want you all to take that literally. I couldn't believe how quiet this man was in this movie. And while people may not like this sort of change in his character, the way that he's used to portraying his characters in movies, I think this was actually a little bit of a challenge for him and a little bit of versatility that he was able to convey his character without barely saying so much as a word. So I am giving him definite points for that. The other thing that I think that this film may have lacked in a way that most people may not enjoy was the styles of kills that were done. Now, the only thing that I wanted was to make sure that these kills did not happen off screen. This movie did not disappoint. There were a lot of on-screen kills, great practical effects. You did get some gore. However, the sort of chase scenes and the built-up suspense and a little bit of how they were killed and executed may not go well with most horror fans. I think that they're going to want a little bit more out of the destruction of these animatronics and also just sort of the action on how it's done. With that being said, I'm giving this movie 4 out of 5. And I do recommend this. Is it worth the $20 rental? Unfortunately, I am going to say no. I think this movie delivers exactly what it was supposed to do. And so if you find that to be $20 worth to check out, do it.
Otherwise, I have a feeling if you wait a couple more months, this movie will go down in price, especially on Amazon Video. Hopefully, the money that you pay will be worth the watch, but I will recommend this. And I love the idea, and I thought it was a lot of fun. You can check out this review on Letterboxd under the name Rob's Rewind. And if you would like this quarantine quickie to become a full review, let me know. If I get enough requests for this, this could become a Patreon bonus episode. Thank you everyone for listening. I hope you enjoyed this review. I'd love to hear what you thought. If you've seen it, if you haven't seen it, does this review give you sort of a decision as to if you would watch it or not? Let me know. And remember, embrace the taste in your movies. Fuck the haters. This is Movie Geek and Proud.